Thank you, Brother Glenn. Good evening, brothers and sisters. I am excited to be here tonight. Definitely really excited when I look at the schedule and it says that tonight the evening service was a youth program, right? So that, I guess that just means that I'm just a young. That's kind of the funny part, you know, where you. But I guess as I prepared for this evening, there were a few things that really stood out of my mind. And right before, I think we were last down here and just before Thanksgiving or right after Thanksgiving, and had an opportunity to preach then at the East Local, as well as I started to prepare for this. And really, as I thought about this one, my mind really was on a lot of different subjects and a lot of different things. But really tonight, I think in my mind and probably in my heart, starting to prepare for maybe our next, I don't know if you call it a holiday. We just finished our Christmas holiday and our time of Christ's birth. But we kind of, in our nation now, we're preparing for New Year's. And so I'm going to ask each of you a quick question, and that is, I did a quick search. How many of you make New Year's resolutions? Does anyone? I see a few hands kind of go up. Well, you know, I was kind of thinking about it myself, and as I was thinking about New Year's resolutions, I don't really know that I make a lot of New Year's resolutions. Now, maybe that just means I don't plan very well, or maybe that means that maybe I won't break my New Year's resolution because I don't even make one. But I did a quick search online, and I was looking online and looking at what are the top New Year's resolutions that we see out there. Just in random order, lose weight, manage debt, save money, get a better job, get fit, get a better education, reduce stress. That's a good one. Volunteer to help others, definitely one that is very good. Spend more time with family and friends, definitely a great one for each of us. Tame the bulge. My wife is looking at me, nodding that's probably mine this next year. Quit something. Whether it's a bad habit or something we have in our life, quit something that we're doing. Enjoy life more, learn something new, and get organized. So as I think about New Year's resolution, really, I want us to really think about what is our spiritual New Year's resolution? What is that in our life, in our spiritual life that we have that we want to work on? Whether it's getting more organized in our spiritual life, whatever that may be. Turn with me to Mosiah, the second chapter. And I'm going to go in Mosiah, the second chapter, and I'm going to start at the 9th verse. I say unto you that if ye have come to a knowledge of the goodness of God and his matchless power and his wisdom and his patience and his long-suffering towards the children of men, and also the atonement which hath been prepared from the foundation of the world, that thereby salvation might come to him that should put his trust in the Lord, and should be diligent in keeping his commandments, and continue in the faith, even unto the end of his life, I mean the life of the mortal body. You know, much like ourselves, really that foundation, that atonement which hath been prepared from the foundation of the world, you know, really putting our trust in God, and is that our resolution? Is that our resolution that we make, that we're going to put our trust in God? Clearly, as men, as humans, where is our strength? You know, many times throughout the Book of Mormon, throughout the Bible, you know, we read about putting our strength in God, not relying on the arm of flesh, but relying on God. Continuing on there. Continue at the 11th verse. I say that this is the man that receiveth salvation through the atonement, which was prepared from the foundation of the world for all mankind, whichever were ever since the fall of Adam, or which are, or which ever shall be, even unto the end of the world. And this is the means whereby salvation cometh. And there is none other salvation save this which hath been spoken of. Neither are there any conditions whereby man can be saved, except the conditions which I have told you. Believe in God, believe that he is, and that he created all things, both in heaven and in earth. I don't think there's anyone here that doesn't believe that. I don't think there's anyone here that has any doubt in that we believe in God, we believe that he is. Believe that he hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, see that you do them. You know, really, it's at this point, I could close my Book of Mormon, I could close my Bible, and we could be done, right? Really, that resolution that we have to make, really that commitment that we have to make, is that we believe that man doth not comprehend all the things that the Lord can. You know, as we think about what is our resolution, you know, really, I sit back and I look back and I think back through the years, and I don't know that I've made one. I don't know that I've set and consciously said, you know what, I'm going to do this differently this next year, or I'm going to go after this differently this next year. But you know, really, we do make one. We made a commitment when we were baptized at a young point of our lives. We made that commitment that we would follow after God. We made that commitment. And really, our opportunity tonight, and I guess my plea to each of you, as we prepare for that new year, as we prepare to take on those new parts within our life, you know, standing in back talking to D.A. and Aubrey, a lot's going to change in their life, isn't it, in just a very short amount of time. That new year rolls around and a new baby comes into their life. And each of us have that opportunity for that new opportunity in our lives that we can start over, that we can look back, and we can look back over the year and we can say, you know, we just came through this Thanksgiving season. Truly a richly blessed people. Are there challenges? Are there trials that we face? You bet. Are there things that we have to be thankful for? You bet. We came through this Christmas season, this holiday, and this time with our family and our loved ones. Were we a little set back with a little bit of snow? Yeah. You know, did it create a little challenge there for us maybe? Yep, it sure did. But it doesn't take away from that holiday, and it doesn't take away from the birth of Christ and that remembrance that we have. And now, if you believe all these things, see that you do them. Turn with me to Alma, the 13th chapter. And this is what I would call probably the foundation of what I want to share with you tonight, and probably my thoughts that I had on my mind. A lot of times as I'm preparing, I start thinking of different stories. Stories that I remember, stories that I grew up learning, stories that we've studied in our lives. I'm going to start at the 36th verse in the 13th chapter. Now this story, this is the part of the Book of Alma where Aaron was preaching unto the people. And you remember Aaron is one of the four sons of Mosiah, so you have Alma and the four sons of Mosiah. And as the four sons, definitely we all remember the story of Alma and the four sons of Mosiah. Young, wild men that were pulling people away from the church, who came along and who had a very, very dramatic change in their life. Right? Alma was approached by an angel, and that change in his life. And now the four sons of Mosiah and Alma are out preaching amongst the people. And this experience that is shared here. And Aaron saith unto the king, behold, the Spirit of the Lord hath called him another way. He has gone to the land of Ishmael to teach the people of Lamoni. And Aaron is talking about his brother Ammon there. Now the king saith unto them, what is this that ye have said concerning the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, this the thing which doth trouble me. And also, what is this that Ammon said? If ye repent, ye shall be saved. And if ye will not repent, ye shall be cast off at the last day. This is the king. The king that is asking him at this point in time is asking Aaron here. He's saying, you know, what is it that your brother Ammon said to me? You know, what is it that your brother said to me? He said, you know, behold, this is the thing that has troubled me. He's saying that what is it this ye have said concerning the Spirit of the Lord? And also, what is it that Ammon said, if you will repent, ye shall be saved. And if you will not repent, ye shall be cast off at this last day. You know, we're taught in our church, we're taught that, what is it that we're supposed to repent? My family, we're spending time, we're studying baptism right now. Right? And some of the basic fundamentals of baptism. And what do we talk about in just some of the basics of baptism? What do we have to do? Well, one of the important steps that we have to take is we have to repent. We have to repent of our sins. We have to ask the Lord for that forgiveness. that we won't do those things again, that he will protect us, that he will help us, that we wouldn't do those. And so this king, probably very young in his spiritual life here, is asking him, he's saying, what is it that I should repent? And Aaron answered him and said unto him, believest thou that there is a God? A very simple question. He's asking, do you believe that there is a God? I think if I pulled each of you and I asked you that question, do you believe that there is a God? Yes, absolutely. Or we wouldn't be here, I don't think. And the king saith, I know that the Amalekites say that there is a God, and I have granted unto them that they should build sanctuaries, that they might assemble themselves together to worship him. And if now thou sayest there is a God, behold, I will believe. And now when Aaron heard this, his heart began to rejoice, and he saith, behold, assuredly, as thou livest, O king, there is a God. And the king saith, is God that great spirit that brought our fathers out of the land of Jerusalem? Right? The very basics, the very beginnings of our Book of Mormon that we study, and where that Lehi came. And Aaron said unto him, yea, he is that great spirit, and he created all things, both in heaven and in earth. Believest thou this? And he saith, yea, I believe that the great spirit created all things, and I desire that ye should tell me concerning all these things, and I will believe thy words. And it came to pass that when Aaron saw that the king would believe his words, he began from the creation of Adam, reading the scriptures unto the king, how God created man after his own image, and that God gave him commandments, and that because of transgressions man had fallen. And Aaron did expound unto him the scriptures from the creation of Adam, laying the fall of man before him and their carnal state, and also the plan of redemption which was prepared from the foundation of the world through Christ for all whosoever would believe on his name. And so the story goes on, and I'm going to skip down to the 51st verse. But Aaron saith unto him, if thou desirest the thing, if thou wilt bow down before God, yea, if thou wilt repent of all thy sins, and will bow down before God, and call on his name in faith, believing that ye shall receive, then shalt thou receive the hope which thou desirest. You know, and those words kind of stood out in my mind, and I wrote those down to try to focus on those a little bit. Repent of thy sins. Right? We talked about that. Some of the very basic beliefs that we have before we were baptized, we know that we have to repent. We know that in our lives that we're called on and we're told to repent throughout our lives. Bow down before God. Right? Again, another one of the basic beliefs that we have. A very basic belief to bow down before God and ask for his forgiveness. To bow down before God for everything in our lives. Call on his name in faith. Believing that ye shall receive, then shalt thou receive the hope which thou desirest. So, do you have hope? What is hope? What is just the basics of hope? Well, it's to wish for something with expectation of its fulfillment. All right, so let's think about hope. What does that mean? So if I have confidence in something, maybe that could be hope, right? Trust. Being aware of a spiritual truth is that hope that we have. Turn with me to Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. And I'm going to start at the 5th verse there. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as the tree planted by the waters that separateth, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. I've just started reading a book, and the title of this book is The Tipping Point. And this book talks about different things in our world, different things whether you look at a business world, or you look at epidemics, or you look at, it even talks about diseases and where a disease starts, and kind of what they call the tipping point is that point where something starts, but really where it takes off, where it really gets, whether it's a fad or it's a craze or it's something that people really grab a hold of, the tipping point is really that point when it gets traction, right? When everybody starts talking about it or when people start reading it. Well, you know, much like we read there in Jeremiah, you know, or like we read here in the book of Alma, you know, that tipping point is that as Aaron was going through here and as he was talking to the king, really that tipping point was, and Aaron said in that verse, he said in one of those verses, he said he rejoiced, you know, he knew that the king believed in God. That was that tipping point for Aaron there. You know, that point when really it clicked because it meant something to him. You know, that tipping point in our lives and really that point that I see that really that as we prepare for that new year, where is our hope? Where is our excitement? Where is that joy and that spirit that we carry with us that we share and we spread to others around us? You know, I kind of chuckle because I'm sitting here and it's been a long day, right? Probably, unfortunately for you, I drank a pot of coffee as I was preparing for this. You know, because I had a big turkey dinner today. The turkey dinner was good, very good, but definitely that turkey was kicking in. And, you know, when I think about, I look out amongst our faces, and I looked out amongst my brothers and sisters that are here with me tonight. And, you know, in your lives, what was that tipping point for you? Right? What was that point in your life where it got traction? Right? We've seen people out driving around and people, the last couple of days, you know, I see these little side streets that have this pile of snow. Somebody gets off the main road, tries to pull in one of the side roads and they get stuck right there. Yeah. What is that point that they all of a sudden get traction and then they get through that? In our spiritual lives, what is that point where all of a sudden we get that traction? What is that tipping point in our life where it grabs hold and it means something to us? You know, I ask that question because I look at it and I'm trying to share with my own boys at home, you know, what does it mean to be baptized? What does it mean to make that commitment, to have that commitment that we make with God? What is that point when that traction kicks in and it grabs hold? Only you can answer that question. I'm going to continue on in the 52nd verse in the 13th chapter of Alma. So I'm in the 13th chapter, starting at the 52nd verse. And it came to pass that when Aaron had said these words, the king did bow down before the Lord upon his knees. Yea, even he did prostrate himself upon the earth and cried mightily, saying, O God, Aaron hath told me that there is a God. This king, that traction grabbed hold. In our lives, as we start that new year, what does that mean for us? What is that point where it grabs hold? And if there is a God, and if thou art God, wilt thou make thyself known unto me? And I will give away all my sins to know thee, and that I may be raised from the dead and be saved at the last day. And now when the king had said these words, he was struck as if he were dead. Right? Aaron had been there before. He had seen this once before, and where was that? When Alma was struck, and it was like Alma was struck dead, Aaron had seen that. And it came to pass that the servants ran and told the queen all that had happened unto the king. And she came in unto the king, and when she saw him lay as if he were dead, and also Aaron and his brethren standing as though they had been the cause of his fall, she was angry with them, and commanded that their servants or the servants of the king should take them and slay them. Now the servants had seen the cause of the king's fall, therefore they durst not lay their hands on Aaron and his brethren. Now when the queen saw the fear of the servants, she also began to fear exceedingly, lest there should be evil come upon her. And she commanded her servants that they should go and call the people, that they might slay Aaron and his brethren. You know, here's the queen. She had seen her husband. She walks in, and her husband is down like he's completely passed out. And she's mad. She's ready. Something happened to the king. Somebody's done something to this king. Go get the servants. Take these men. Take them out right here. Servants wouldn't do it. The servants wouldn't touch them. Well, if that's not going to work, then go get the people. The people surely will kill these people. And the people start to come. Now when Aaron saw the determination of the queen, and he also knowing the hardness of the hearts of the people, feared lest that a multitude should assemble themselves together, and there should be a great contention and a disturbance among them. Therefore he put forth his hand and raised the king from the earth, and said unto him, Stand, and he stood upon his feet, receiving his strength. Now this was done in the presence of the queen and many of the servants, and when they saw it, they greatly marveled and began to fear. That tipping point for the queen. That point when it really started to grab hold and it took that traction, that hang on, there's something different. There's something happening here. Now there was a multitude gathered together because of the commandment of the queen, and there began to be great murmurings among them because of Aaron and his brethren. But the king stood forth among them and administered unto them, and it came to pass that they were pacified towards Aaron and his brethren which were with him. And it came to pass that when the king saw the people were pacified, he caused that Aaron and his brethren should stand forth in the midst of the multitude, that they should preach the word unto the people. You know, many times, if you want some great stories and some great refresher for us, go back and read some of these stories of Alma and the four sons of Mosiah. Many of these stories that really apply in our lives. You know, the four sons of Mosiah, how many times were there close calls in their lives? How many times are there close calls in our life? You know, definitely I look out, and as we were traveling, you know, as we came here, we were safe. Right? In our lives, as we go about in our daily lives, you know, we go out, and I know that we're protected, and I know that we're blessed. Turn with me to Moroni, the 10th chapter. Towards the back of your Book of Mormon. And I'm going to read from the 13th verse. I'm going to start at 13. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that ye remember that every good gift cometh of Christ. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that ye remember that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that all these gifts of which I have spoken, which are spiritual, never will be done away, even as long as the world shall stand, only according to the unbelief of the children of men. Wherefore, there must be faith. Right? We're commanded in our lives, there must be faith. And if there must be faith, there must also be hope. Is there hope in our lives? I believe that there is. And if there must be hope, there must also be charity. And except ye have charity, ye can in no wise be saved in the kingdom of God. Neither can ye be saved in the kingdom of God if ye have not faith. Neither can ye if ye have no hope. And if ye have no hope, you must needs be in despair. And despair cometh because of iniquity. And Christ truly said unto our fathers, if ye have faith, ye can do all things which are expedient unto me. You know, that's my hope. That's our battle cry that I hope that we carry with us in our everyday lives. You know, really, I was kind of thinking as I was preparing here, you know, and if ye have faith, ye can do all things which are expedient unto me. You know, if we had super memory verses that we were going to carry with us throughout the year, right, this would be the one in my mind. We can do this. We can carry on that belief that we have. And if ye have faith, ye can do all things which are expedient unto me. Turn with me to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Favorite couple of verses of all of ours, and definitely ones that we remember often. Starting at the first verse, and then I'm going to read the sixth verse. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Right? What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Skipping down to the sixth verse. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, diligently seek him. We can diligently seek him in our lives, in our daily lives. You know, definitely we live crazy, busy lives, right? Probably not a lot of spare moments in our lives. But we can praise him. Traveling down the road, we can think about him. Turn with me to Isaiah, the 55th chapter. And I'm going to read this chapter from Isaiah. It's a short chapter. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. You know, there's one in the Bible that I'm reading here, there's a reference, and it references John, the 4th chapter, the 14th verse. says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. This is Christ speaking. He says, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That well of water that we have within us. Continuing on then at the second verse in Isaiah. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? Where is our focus? Where is our energy? And your labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. That's our opportunity this year. As we move into this new year, as we prepare for this holiday, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not of your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. The voice of the Lord is not going to be wasted. It is not going to fall on deaf ears. Now we have to actively listen. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. And my hope, and really my prayer is that we carry on with us this year, that we will carry on that name of Christ in our lives, in our daily duties and the things and the responsibilities that we have. Think about what is that tipping point in your life? What was that point where it grabbed hold? And remember that and carry that with you as you go about your daily lives. I'm going to close with not really a poem, but it is from Helen Steiner Rice, and it's her Ten Commandments. And it says, the personal commandments of Helen Steiner Rice emphasize optimism. Thou shalt be happy. Right? Hopefully we can carry that with us this year. Thou shalt be happy. Thou shalt use thy talents to make others glad. What are the talents that you have? What are those things in your lives? And are you using those talents? Thou shalt rise above defeat and trouble. Thou shalt look up each day as a new day. Well, we're starting in a new year, right? Who would have thought 2010? Do we look up each day as a new day? Are we excited about this new year? Thou shalt always do thy best and leave the rest to God. Truly one that we should carry with us. Thou shalt not waste thy time and energy in useless worry. You know, and I think that's very applicable in our lives. Thou shalt not waste thy time and energy in useless worry. Thou shalt look only on the bright side of life. Thou shalt not be afraid of tomorrow. Thou shalt have a kind word and a kind deed for everyone. Thou shalt say each morning, I am a child of God and nothing can hurt me. My hope is that each of you carry that with us, that we are a child of God and that we have that faith and that we have that hope and we have that excitement in our lives that we are thankful for that being a child of God and that nothing can hurt me. My prayer is for you.